Good morning, family. Good morning. Definitely good to see so many out with us, and if you're visiting with us, please know you're honored guests, and we're so glad you decided to be with us this morning. So we always attempt to do Bible things in Bible ways. So again, if you have any questions about anything, just let us know, and we are required by God's holy command to give you a Bible answer for a Bible question. Before I forget, just a couple of announcements. Keep Sister Sarah Vance in your prayers. She lost her brother to long bout with cancer yesterday, I believe. So his name was Andrew Browning. He's been in our bulletin for several months now. Just lift up prayers for her family as she deals with the loss of her brother. Also keep Sister Sally Turner in your prayers. So she's having a heart procedure in the morning at 6, I believe. And keep my dad in your prayers. He fell Wednesday night and broke his hip. So he's in Hospital Monroe. They're trying to control his AFib. Kind of get that down where they can kind of go ahead and do surgery. And it's going pretty well, the last report I got this morning. So hopefully, if everything continues to go well, they'll prepare his hip and then go to rehab for a little while as he recovers from an injury. Again, as said before, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we only set aside days like this to remember those folks who are near and dear to us. The older I get, the more I understand as, and I heard this yesterday at the funeral of my aunt. You know, you need to learn to give folks flowers every day in many respects. If you have a mother living, consider yourself blessed. And maybe those who don't have a mother living or whose mothers have gone on, we're here because of them. You know, sometimes when we're celebrating our mothers, we need to pray for those who are really suffering with the loss of their mothers who may not longer be among the living. But make no mistake about it, they live on through us. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Which gets us into our lesson this morning is mothers after God's own heart. And just to get our minds prepared for it, you know, I'm kind of a very humorous guy. There's a few things I want to give you that kids have said to their mothers that I ran across I thought would be good to kind of help us out. That was a child, a young girl, who asked her mother to have a kitten. She begged and begged and begged so that she could get a little kitten. The mom says, you know what, I'd like to get it for you, little Susie, but see, I'm allergic. To kittens. I'm allergic to cats. She said, well, both of us can't sleep in the house. So the little girl responded, that's okay. You can sleep outside then. Young lady was talking to her. Mother was talking to a young lady again and says, you know, explaining to her about life. And she says, one day you'll have feelings for boys. That's kind of the natural way it goes. So the young girl responded, I got feelings for boys now. She's about 6 years old. Mom's like, what are you talking about? She says, well, I do have feelings for boys. I hate them, and they get on my last nerve. Another situation was a mom asked a question. She was just going over some educational stuff with us. So she asked her daughter, did you know what a humanitarian was? And she said, sure. They just like vegetarians and said they eat humans. Thought that was kind of funny. Another one says, mom is yelling upstairs, getting ready to go off and get the day started, and she's yelling, you know what? You've made me late. Y'all need to hurry up. The young girl responded, it's not my fault. You should have started yelling at me earlier. Another one says, mom wrote a note. She said, mom wrote a note on Mother's Day, actually. Mom, you were my best friends until I got real friends. Don't know what that means. And this last one's kind of funny, too. Young lady comes up to her, asks her mom. She says, mom, I want to ask you a question. She says, what happens when you drop cell phones in the toilet? Mom starts to explain. The young girl says, never mind. So just a little bit of humor to get us thinking about it, because mothers are something special. They really are. Sometimes you find yourself taking them for granted. Don't ever do that, because we never know when life situations will change. You'll no longer have them on the living. So if you have a mother, love up on her. If you have a mother, I know sometimes it's hard like this. Remember all the good things and times that they taught you and things they taught you to make you the person they are. It's something that only mothers can do. Sometimes it's only things that mothers can help with. You know, maybe those boo-boos that you have that, you know, dad be a little too rough with. And not just boo-boos physically, but also sometimes the spiritual and mental and emotional situations we deal with. God designed them especially for that purpose. God designed them to really be the main nurturer of children in the home. And it's so sad that sometimes that's not the way it is. There are many folks who have not had the opportunity to have loving mothers in their life. But guess what? My Bible and yours tells us in Titus chapter 2 is that we all have responsibility to mother and father our young people in this society, whether we birth them or not. And there's a whole lot of folks who need it. So, again, maybe you're in a situation where you can reach out to somebody. And we're going to talk about three good examples of mothers today. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And while we're getting there, you know, we understand that Mother's Day was established in 1914 by President Woodrow Wilson. It gets a very special day for mothers, but let it not be the only day you think about mom. Pray again with those who have lost mothers and learn to love others like mothers love you. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse number 8. I'm going to read down through verse number 19, a long passage. This is the story of Hannah. And Hannah was a very special woman in the Bible, but we see sometimes how God blesses us when we're persistent in trying to do his will. Verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 1 reads as such. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than ten sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but would give thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunken. And Eli said unto her, how wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken unto thee. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was made sad, no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house Ramah, and Elkanah knew Elkanah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Here is the story of many folks in our society who may be wanting the blessings of motherhood, but I want to tell you this morning, the Lord hears you and remembers you. We see Hannah, a wonderful lady. She was mocked by those in her own household because he had another wife named Peninnah. He had two wives, but Hannah was his favorite. And Peninnah, being blessed to have and give birth to a child or children, made fun of Hannah. Now think about this lady. And all she wanted to do was to have a child and give him back to God. Now this was not her only child. This was her first one. So sometimes in life, you know, we need to learn to value, but the best thing that a mother can do for their child is to give them back to God. When you give them to God, you give them somebody who's going to be there when life on this side is no more. You give them somebody that sticketh closer than a mother, a brother, or a sister. So our number one job with anything that God blesses us with, especially our children, is that we owe them a responsibility to give them back to God. Now, if that was the mindset of many in this world today, this world would not be in the shape it is today. There are many folks in here who've decided to give their children back to God. And I know sometimes when they get older, they kind of make their own decisions. But while they're in our control, while they're under our household, we need to be willing and striving to give them back to God. Now, notice right here, and this is not what we typically mean giving, because when you read the rest of this, you know, when he was basically weaned from his mother's breast, he basically went to live with Samuel full time. Now, some people say, well, but God, You wanted me to give him to him. You made this promise. Can I just keep him? But she kept her vow. And God knew that she would keep her vow. And sometimes that's what he wants us to do. And he heard her. So sometimes if that's not happened for you today, understand that God hears you. And she went on about it. When she understood that God heard her, when she understood that God had heard and that Eli was petitioning on her behalf, he says she sorrowed no more. At that point in time, she shows her faith in God to understand that God was going to answer her prayers. There are many folks in this world who are striving who sometimes doubt whether God hears them, but I'm here to tell you today that God heard you and he remembers you. Keep doing things in godly ways. Keep living the life God wants you to live because he hears you. He hears you. So this is a good example. She says, finally, again, Hannah poured out her soul, but look at her promise. If you give me a son, I'll give him right back to you. What an attitude about the importance of pleasing God. Many a mother, again, has tried, as I said before, to give their child back to God. Why? We truly see Hannah's faith in God. She even named him a name that honors her promise. Samuel, the word Samuel means, asked him of the Lord. As soon as he was weaned, as I said before, she gave him to the priest Eli to raise in the house of the Lord. What better example of a mother who prayed and labored and promised and suffered and cried and mourned, and God gave her what she wanted, but she was not selfish with it. She gave him right back to God. So understand this. The Bible tells us that children are a blessing and a heritage from the Lord. Amen. But understand that he is. We're told in Proverbs 22 and 6, I believe, to raise up a child in the way he should go, in the ways of the Lord. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we need to be instilling them in this. One of the reasons why society is in the situation today is somebody stopped teaching them about God. Somebody stopped teaching them about there's somebody who has authority in their life. The reason why many folks don't respect authority now is because they were never taught it earlier. Now, I'm going to deal with part two of this on Father's Day. Because fathers have a big responsibility in doing that to the house and also raising their children up in the admonition of the Lord. It talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4, but that lesson's for another one. But mothers are oftentimes the first teachers that a child has. And when you begin to instill the principles of God and the Word of God in them, you are doing more for them than any job can give them, any kind of situation can give them, any kind of family, whatever it is. That's the most important thing you can give to your child is give them back to God. So we learn some lessons from God. Second person we'll talk about, I won't keep us long this morning, is Jochebed. A very good example of what mothers are willing to do for their children. She was the mother of Moses. She was the mom who loved her child enough to place him in a basket and send him down the river. Now, I want to say this in the terms of the society we're living in today. I don't think Jochebed would have taken the option of abortion if she had it available. Life is too precious for that. She did what she could, and she trusted God. She came up in a hostile environment. She couldn't control the situation around her. She couldn't control the decree that Pharaoh had made because the children of Israel were beginning to outnumber the people in Egypt. So he made a decree that every male child under the years of 2 years of age was to be killed on sight. Now think about the tough decision she had to make. Mothers sometimes have to make tough decisions for their children. Not pleasant. Maybe they don't understand it. But understand, sometimes when you have to give your children away and you understand that they're out of your sight, that you're not there with them to hold their hand and to help them in situations of life, it oftentimes tears a mother's heart apart. Can you imagine Jochebed? And this is the beginning of the story because I want you to stick with me to the end. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10 is where we read the story. Can you imagine this woman? To save her child, she lets it go. One of the hardest things sometimes for mothers to do is sometimes to let their children go. Now, what do I mean by that? That doesn't mean take your hand off of them. But there are sometimes you have to trust the things they've instilled in them, even though at that point in time, they're not making good decisions. You cannot control your child's decision their whole life. You know, you want to. And anybody who loves their children and loves those things, people in their life, you want to keep them from hurt, harm, and danger. But sometimes I know this from experience. The only way you learn some stuff, as my grandma used to say, is by bumping your rumper every now and then. Sometimes you got to let them hit rock bottom. There are situations in life you can't always come to the rescue. You know, sometimes we do that. Sometimes when you do these things, you really cripple them beyond almost repair. If you're always rescuing them from situations and never letting them sometime experience the consequence of the actions, how are they going to learn? But I've seen mothers like this who do these things, and they do everything they can. I've seen it in school. You know, sometime as an administrator in a role I worked in school, you call a parent to tell them their child misbehaving in class, and the first thing they do is begin to cuss you out. My child wouldn't do that. Well, you don't know your child then, obviously. Now, what sense does that make? Why would I just take time out of my busy day to make up something and call you and know what I'm going to hear because you did it the last time I called to hear you cuss me out? I'm going to make that up? But it's kind of sad. That's the world we live in. That's it. And it seems like there's no accountability. Now, I grew up in a time that the last person that's going to be leave when somebody called from the school was me. My mom was going to take for word what that teacher or principal said because they knew that's their job and they knew that they didn't have a problem. They were in an objective point of view. I had a subjective point of view. I always wanted to hear my story. But sometimes I've heard of situations, even in my own house, in my own family, that by the time they got off the phone, that parent was at the door. And not at the door by himself. They brought a little act right with them. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know about you, but even in today's societies, I've turned my office over several times to a parent who came to give their child some act right. You need a place to do it? Take my office. One time, I tell you this, that it got so hot and heavy, I didn't get the office in fast enough. And I got a couple of licks. Parents started whooping when I came in. I got about two or three licks before I was able to get up behind my desk. But I didn't mind that. She apologized. I said, no, man, no problem. Just give you about a two-second warning. I get out your way. But I didn't mind. She felt so bad, but that child needed it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that anymore. It seems like the world has gotten away from it. And I understand with Dr. Spock and all those things, but sometimes you need to learn lessons the hard way. There's nothing wrong, as again I say, with corporal punishment every now and then. You know, and if DSB is supposed to go and get them, tell them to come get them. They better raise them and feed them too in many situations. I'm not saying abuse them, but I'm also saying that's part of discipline. But more importantly, it's a part of love as well. You're showing that child you love them when you don't allow them to do everything they want or speak to certain things. You're teaching them respect and authority. Oftentimes that starts with the person who's tasked to giving and providing nurture in the home. So sometimes that needs to happen. And I said before, I probably wish I'd have gotten a little bit when I was younger. I'd probably been a little bit better human being than I am now. I needed a few more. I know I got off the hook with some. Also, to balance it out, I took some whoopings for stuff I didn't do. So I think it kind of balanced out in my situation. Maybe not yours. But I know I got some licks for some stuff I didn't do. But think about that for a moment. Jochebed. Many a mother today has had this problem. She took a very big risk by doing this. Pharaoh's daughter could have easily had her son drowned. She didn't know where he was going. She didn't know who'd get him. It really shows her faith in God. So a few lessons from Jochebed are this. She taught Moses about God early in life. Now, if you don't know the story, I'm paraphrasing it. She puts her child, builds a net, makes a basket, puts him in the river, and floats him down. Now imagine this. She was also a servant in Pharaoh's household. Pharaoh's daughter finds this child, and instead of killing him, because she knew he was already an Israelite child, she brought him into Pharaoh's house. And lo and behold, guess who got to raise her child in Pharaoh's house? She needed a maid. She needed a wet mom, so to speak. She ended up getting her child back and raising him in Pharaoh's house. How did she get him back? Because she loved him enough to give him up. She loved him enough to give him up. God answers and honors these things. When we love our children enough to give them up, oftentimes, many times, not all the time, sad to say, they oftentimes return back to us. So don't always try to hold their hand with everything. Don't always try to keep them from all the hurt, harms, and dangers. And I understand you need to do some of it. But some of it is you have to trust the things you've instilled in them. You've instilled in the principles of God. You've instilled in them faith. They've seen faith in you, first of all. They've seen you overcome situations and circumstances. They've seen you fight battles. They've seen also you lose battles, but you say you keep fighting. They've seen you get knocked down by life, and they've seen you get up. That's encouragement for many of our young folks today. They need to understand that life is not always a bed of roses. Life is not always fair. Bad things happen to folks, and we'll talk about that in a minute when I get to my next example. So she lived a righteous life before him. She never gave up on her children. And can you imagine knowing that Pharaoh's daughter is bringing this baby home? She opens up the basket and realizes it's Moses, her own child. And not only that, Pharaoh says, it's your responsibility to raise it. That's the God that we serve. So we see these things. She gave up, never gave up on her children. She gave them up, let them go out into the world. But because she trusted God, and we know that he knew who he was early on. She didn't hide the fact he was an Israelite. Because when he turned 40 years old, what did he do? He defended one of his brethren. He was never told that he was a member of Pharaoh's army. She told him exactly who he was. So she was also truthful with it. You know, sometimes we need to be truthful with folks in our lives. You know, one of the things that happens is sometimes we don't realize that we can learn lessons sometimes from folks' misgivings and shortcomings. You know, sometimes we're so embarrassed, but we sometimes need to tell our folks, children, this so they won't make the same mistake. Sometimes I've seen situations where we sit back and quiet because we're so into our feelings and our problems that we let our children make the same mistake. Why do we do that? Help them out. They need to know that mommy or daddy was not perfect. They need to know that sometimes they messed up so that they won't make the same mistakes. And I understand we don't want to relive the past, but there's some lessons in the past that we learned that we need to be able to instill in our children. Don't be afraid to do those things. And I know some things in our past we're not always proud about, but help them understand whether you made the right decision or wrong decision, how to overcome these things in life. Because they're going to make right and wrong decisions. And if they've never seen a situation on how to put their life back together, they'll never know it. So we get another example from Jochebed. The last example we're going to look at is Naomi. She's an example. And this is in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. She's an example of not only a mother who kept it moving and kept it going when bad things happened, but look at how she blessed others in her life. Naomi was married and had two sons married to two Moabite women. Then tragedy happened in her life. She lost both her sons. I don't know about you, and I've never been in a situation. I hope I never, ever be in a situation. The hardest thing to do in life is to lose a child. You never. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. That's not the way it's supposed to go. We're supposed to go before our children. Do we do that? We plan on it. We help. We put things in place to make sure that we're taken care of when we're gone. We want them to live full and fruitful lives. And those parents who've had to bury a child, there's nothing harder. There's nothing harder than that. Because that's not the way it's supposed to go. But there are folks in the Bible who understand. As I like to say, bad stuff happened to mothers today. Divorce, abandonment, death, sickness. And I said before, parents never want to live longer than their children. Naomi, after this tragedy happened, she decides to go back to Judah, where she was from. But look at the influence she had on Ruth. There was somebody watching her and needing her guidance to make it through this troublesome time in life. She had Ruth watching her, so much so that she says, mom-in-law, this is a mother-in-law now. She didn't stick with her. I don't know what happened to her own mother, but she had a close enough relationship with her mother-in-law to say, I'm going with you. Naomi had every right to get in her own feelings and to shut everybody out. She had bad stuff happen. These were her two sons. I know they were your husband, but these are my boys that died. But notice the example she was already setting for folks like Ruth. As I said before, mothers understand. There's some folks who need to understand how you made it through your trouble sometimes. There are some folks in your life, whether they're your biological people or not, need to know, understand how you overcame some stuff. And I do try to honestly believe that sometimes that's the only way we can make sense out of some things that happen to us in our life. Because we'll be able to help somebody else on down the road that we may not even know yet. We'll be able to help somebody make it through a situation just like we did, because there's nothing new under the sun. And whatever you're going through right now, understand that you're not the only one and you won't be the last one, whatever it is. But oh my goodness, what a blessing we can be when we decide to help folks and take our eyes off ourselves. Maybe this happens in your life. Naomi decides to go back. But this is also, again, proof of the type of loving woman that Naomi was. So what happens later? Maybe you have a Naomi or Ruth in your life. And what I mean by that? You may have somebody in your life, and that's how I know we can still fill roles. You may have somebody in your life that's looking at you the same way that Ruth looked at Naomi. Think about that. These are not children, and these are not people that were born to you, but understand that you are important to somebody else in this world. You have a lot to offer somebody. Don't be afraid to reach out. We have a lot of folks in this world who don't know the loving touch of somebody from the female persuasion, who never had a close relationship with somebody who fit the mother role, whether it's their biological child or not. Do you realize that you may be the one that can turn that person's life around? And all you did was decide to take time out of your busy schedule to let them know you care and loved about them, to take time to listen to them. You don't realize how sometimes they can do. Sometimes we get in our own feelings and we think we have nothing to offer. We all thinking about our own problems. We don't think that we can still be a blessing to somebody else. You got to get out your feelings sometimes. You got to get out your own way sometimes, because there's somebody looking at you. There's somebody who needs you specifically to hear from your mouth that I love you and I care about you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care where you come from. I don't care about your background. I want you to know that I love you and I care about you. It doesn't cost anything to do that, family. We have folks all throughout this world, as I like to say, and I say it again, but I look at them and I see with them. I see a lot of folks who, under the right situation and the right environment, they could be totally different people. How dare we keep our blessings to ourselves? How dare we be so selfish to say, well, I don't have time to worry about nobody else's problem. I got my own. One of the ways you minimize your problems in your life is to help somebody deal with their situation, because then it shrinks. Then you put your own problems in perspective. Naomi was such a woman. Naomi shows her love for Ruth by letting her come. Because each woman were esteeming others better than themselves, both of them ended up blessed in the end. Ruth, tell you the story, goes into the field to glean and meets Boaz. The only reason she met Boaz, because she decided to stick with Naomi. She didn't know that she'd be meeting her husband and in God's future plans, because when we look later on, this was the lineage of Jesus Christ. Because Obed comes out of it, who was David's grandfather. So she didn't know when she decided to stick by her grandmother, I mean her mother-in-law, what blessings would come her way. She was grieving too, because her husband died. But they stuck together. One of the important things we can do sometime when tragedy sticks is learn to walk with folks. Learn to reach out to them. You may can't do anything about this situation, but sometimes just being there makes all the difference in the world. Sometimes we worry about it. I don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Just be there. Just be there. That happens a lot of time when tragedy happens. Sometimes we withdraw from folks because we don't have the perfect words to say. Sometimes just being there makes all the difference. A loving hug, a loving touch, and then even sometimes not even that. Just showing your presence can make all the difference in the world. All these two women did was decide to be there for each other. And look at the blessing that God showed them. Naomi hears it and gets excited for Ruth. See, I always had Ruth's best interest at heart. Here's a lady who says, I'm not worried about myself. She wasn't looking for another husband at the time. Maybe she was in that life when she was not searching for one. But she also found somebody that was good for her daughter-in-law. But basically her daughter. I'm going to take daughter-in-law off of that. Her daughter. She had Ruth's best interest at heart. Naomi gives good motherly advice to Ruth about Boaz. Ruth, as I said before, eventually has a child named Obed, who was David's grandfather. All they decided to do was be there for one another. Women, you have a big responsibility and you have a great chance. Learn to be there for one another. Okay, men, we're going to talk about it in a little while later. Learn to be there for one another. And there's some things between women that they understand that we don't understand as men. I'm not foolish enough, naive enough to understand that. There's some things that women in my life need to talk to women only about. I got that. I understand that. Just like it is some things that men need to talk to men in their life about. We'll deal with that in June. But understand, sometimes you can tell things from a perspective. You walked in those shoes. How dare we be so selfish not to help one another along? You may say, well, I got my own problems. Guess what? Everybody got problems. But if you help carrying each other's problems, the load gets a little lighter. Maybe you're able to help her carry the burden, and she can help you carry the burden so that both of y'all can move along together with it. Think about that for a moment. This is all in the name of godly mothers in the Bible. And in conclusion, I said I won't keep you long this morning. These are just a few examples of the blessings of mothers. mothers are the first ones, really, when you think about it, the way God designed them, to really teach us the love of God. They teach us undying. They teach us agape, or unconditional love. There's nothing that a mother wouldn't give for their child, even sometimes their life. Not even say sometimes, at all times their life. That is such a blessing. So if you're a mother today, cherish it. I know the load gets heavy sometimes. You may be a divorced mother. You may be a mother in a marriage. You may be a single mother. The load gets heavy sometimes. But don't ever forget your responsibility and role. And your role is to love them like God loves you. They're going to have to learn from somebody. Mothers, teach them to be godly women. Godly women by godly principles. You can teach them how to go out in clubs and shake the booties, and you can do that too. But that's not helping them or the cause of God. Teach them to be godly women. Teach them, even in your household, how to respect the husband. Teach them those things. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes they're just products of their own environment. Teach them how to submit to their own husbands. You can teach them these things. You don't have to say it. Sometimes you can just be an example. You teach these things. And I'm not saying that child is not their own personality, but they have a good example. If you're teaching these things, when they're older and more mature and understand what life's about, they won't depart from it. Mothers are oftentimes their son's first love, just like it is with fathers and daughters. We understand those things. Now, oftentimes, I know many a mama's boy, and you say, what's nothing wrong with being a mama's boy? Nothing at all wrong with it. Sometimes we look at it as such. So they have a role for men as well, because they also teach young men what to expect from a woman in marriage. So that's why it's important to set good examples. If you're setting a bad example, chances are likely that that child, that male, first of all, will choose somebody just like you. Because not saying it in a very sixth sense, we often end up marrying our mothers and fathers. That's what normally happens in life, because that's the examples that we see. So set those examples. And again, not just today in closing. Think about doing it every day. Find a way to honor your mother or somebody who's providing that mother role in your life every day. And if you're really struggling at this point in time, because this day is not easy for everybody, just remember all the good things that the mothers in your life have done for you. It's so easy to remember they're not here, and it's so understanding when you want to touch them and talk to them and pick up the phone and wish them Happy Mother's Day and take them out to dinner and all this other stuff, and they're not there. But understand they still live on with you in your heart. They're still there with you each and every step of the way. Those things they instill, those memories they instilled at you, those are the things that oftentimes get us through tough times. And many of us have wonderful memories of our mothers if they're not here with us. And if you're not a situation, you're not a situation where that's your situation. You know, sometimes children don't have that. Decide to be one for somebody else. Decide to show them what a godly mother looks. Show them, even though you may not have biologically birthed them, show them what a mother's love really looks like. It'll make a difference in their lives, but also yours as well, using the example of Naomi and Ruth. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel. We must believe what we have heard. We must repent of our sins. We must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And that places us into Christ and makes us new creatures. But from time to time, we mess up, don't we? We miss the mark. We fall short. And that goes for mothers as well. And there's no perfect, such thing as a perfect human being. So children, whether you're young or adult, understand your parents make mistakes too. They don't make right decisions too. So be patient with them, too. Nobody wrote a book on it. Some people tried to write a book, but you can't really learn how to be a mother, really, until you're a mother. They can help you. You got examples. But there are going to be some things you learn on your own. But thank God for those situations. And again, sometimes when it gets hard, understand that they're truly blessings from us. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism and request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward. Brother Josh leads us in the selection.